Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Logan. I'm so glad you're here. We got a couple announcements. And those are Happy Father's Day. Amen.
Amen.
Hope all the fathers have a good day. We had a wonderful VBS this past week. I think some of us are a little tired, but it was very enjoyable. We had the lessons were great. We had a good bunch of kids. And we had two kids profess faith in Jesus Christ and want to be baptized. Amen?
Amen.
That's great. We will not be having Wednesday night service this week. Is everybody listening? We will not be having Wednesday night service because of the Freedom Fest, and they block the streets and you can't get down and out, and it's pretty aggravating. So we're not having service Wednesday night. And then I also want to mention that while we were having Vacation Bible School, our Vacation Bible School material, we were partnered with the Children's Hunger Fund. And it's a fund that helps feed children who don't have things to eat. And it's not only abroad, but in the United States. And they had a video every night that was really good that brought out a child or a family and how it helped them and how pastors in these other countries were helping these children that don't get food. And so all week, there's a couple boxes up here on the table. All week, the kids brought their quarters and some adults brought quarters and money. And we left the boxes up here, and I mention it to you because if any of you all would like to just put some change that you may have or whatever you maybe want to put in the boxes to help that effort, it would be appreciated. But this week, through the children and the teachers and such that were here, we collected $275.66. And so that's great, as you know, for children bringing quarters and such. Now, they tell us that they can provide one meal for every quarter that is giving. So that $275 will provide 1,102 meals. So amen?
Amen.
It's really good. Do we have any other announcements? No. No other announcements. So what we want to do is we want to get our hearts and minds ready to worship God. And sometimes that can be a difficult thing, can't it? Like right now, some of you's not listening to what I'm saying. And you know. We need to tune in. We need to put aside our problems. We need to set aside, you know, the health problems, the sorrow, the whatever it may be, maybe even the good things that's occupying mind. Maybe you're looking forward to having a meal today with your father or remembering your father, whatever you may have scheduled. And those are good things. But now we're here to worship God. And in Sunday school, we're hearing from Jeremiah. And if you were in Sunday school, everybody's kind of shell-shocked because we know God expects us to show up and to worship Him. And He's serious about it, isn't He? Amen? So we definitely want to prepare our hearts and minds. So let's take a time of prayer, quiet, meditation as the ladies play some music for us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, and we earnestly want to worship You in a way that pleases You. And we pray, Lord, that You will be pleased this day. Father, we pray that for your presence. We pray for your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and minds. We pray, Lord, that we will hear your word. Father, we just pray that we will be blessed with the fellowship, the hearing of the word, and the privilege of singing to you today. Father, we thank you for this past week and the wonderful, blessed time we had in Vacation Bible School. I thank you, Lord, for all the workers once again. I thank you for the children. I thank you for your Spirit working in the life of Johnny, Thomas, and Chase. And I not only lift them up, that these two young boys will start their prayer life now, confessing their sin to you, asking and pleading with you for the presence of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. But I pray for their parents, because we know when it comes to children that the cooperation and the obedience of the parents is very important. May they take them to church. May they hear the word, that they may grow in you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. This has been, as most of these are, as we preach through the Bible. We exposit the Bible and preach every verse and hear of all the Word of God. And we've been through the life of David. And today we come to the final sermon in this series. And so we turn to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you shall also know what Job the son of Zeruiah did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner the son of Ner and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals on his feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai the Gilead, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty they met me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim. He cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol." Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father, of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. And all the people said,
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord. Father, we have heard your word. We have heard your word spoken and read this morning. May you bless me and may the Spirit fill me that I may say and preach the things you would have me to say. But that we all, as the Sunday school lesson said, would actually listen to what we hear and act accordingly. We pray in Christ's name and amen. Having heard the word of God, we are called to worship. We turn to hymn number 83. Please stand if you're able. Be thou my vision. May be seated. Did you hear the second verse? Third stanza says, Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. May we give praise and glory on Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. All right, our readings from Scripture this morning. You know that we've transitioned from our Spurgeon's Catechism and our confession to Proverbs. And so today we look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, the enticement of sinners. Let us hear the words of God. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. And forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and penance for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's, having heard the word of God once again, let's turn to hymn number 516. Like a river glorious. You may be seated. Would our ushers please come forward? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the gifts that you bestow upon us that we don't deserve. Your grace, your mercy, your law, your commandments that guide us and direct us to a life of joy and peace. Heavenly Father, as we thank you today for all that you've given us, and as we give back a portion to you, may you bless it for the furtherance of our church, for the furtherance of your gospel, and to the glory of your name. We pray in Christ. Amen. May be seated. If you'll turn in your Bibles back to 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to talk about keep the charge. You know, I didn't look back and see when we started this series, but it was some time ago. And I was just thinking to myself, and maybe you are, but you know, what are we to think of David? You know, he started as the young shepherd boy, and the very famous story of him slaying the giant Goliath and his bravery, his confidence, his faith in the Lord, his rise to king, all the things with Saul pursuing him and his graciousness towards Saul, even in Saul's attempt to kill. But then there was Bathsheba. And there was his sin, and there was his fall. There was the discipline of God. And that discipline carried the problems he had with his children and with his kingdom from that point forward. And so we should ask ourselves, what have we learned? How have you grown as we have heard about the life of David? I know I have. And been very beneficial to me to look at David and just a blessing to me in my walk with the Lord. And we're going to see some of that in the final words of David as his life ends. Now, we had had another sermon about his final words to the people, but here we have his last words, and they were the last words to Solomon. And they were the final words of David. So keep the charge is what we're going to hear. And so as I heard about the life of David, it has inspired me to keep the charge, to avoid sin that too often we take lightly. And so let's look at verses 1 through 4 first. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon, his son. So his time's drawing near. This is something that we all have to face, isn't it? Even King David had to die. So if you think you're so special that you won't have to die, you're mistaken. We all must one day meet the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so David, even the great David, grew old and his body was failing him. And so he must face death. If you'd like to, I'm going to turn to Ecclesiastes and hear the words of Solomon. I have a new Bible, and I don't know if anybody else has had this problem. I've only been using it a limited number of Sundays. And I find it more difficult to find my place for some reason. The books are in the same order, but it's the pages are a little different in thickness. And you know, I've struggled a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 20 says, "All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return." Because David said, as he was commanding Solomon, verse 2, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man." What is the way of all the earth? We just heard from Solomon in Ecclesiastes. "From dust we were made by the hand of Almighty God," amen, "and to dust we all return." But he says to Solomon, and this is where we want to start hearing all the lessons of David, "Be strong, show yourself a man." Now, maybe different images come into your mind of what that means. What does it mean to be a man? I ask you ladies to put the word believer or Christian, okay? So he's addressing his son Solomon as a man, and that did have a specific context to Solomon that does not apply to us. I'm not being commissioned as king of Israel. However, as believers, we all must hear the words of David and how we can grow in them. So be strong, show yourself a man. So what did that mean? Was he talking about war? Was he talking about in handling David's death and the way he would handle that? No, because he tells us what he means by show yourself a man. I charge you today, show yourself a disciple. And he says in verse 3, "And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses." So he says, how does he to be strong? He's to walk in the ways of God. And now, how many people believe that the ways of God are weak? I've had people tell me, "Oh, religion's just, it's a crutch for the weak." But let me tell you something. If you've ever tried to keep the commandments of God, it requires strength. A strength that only comes from God and the work of His Spirit in our life. Amen? That we can walk in His ways. No, it is the strong that stands with God. It is the weak that bows and kneels to the world, to the temptations of the devil. That is weakness that ruins not only their life, but the life of their spouse, their children, and all who know them. That is the way of weakness. That is the way of sin. And the Bible makes it clear that sin is slavery and it is bondage. And we see what sin did to the life of David. He says, so no, be strong. He says, keep the charge. What was David charged with doing? What is Solomon being charged with doing? What are you charged with doing? And how is that charge fulfilled? That's what we're talking about today. So keep the charge. We've all heard Romans 12:1, don't we? That says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your what? Reasonable service. Present your bodies. What is our sacrifice to God? We were talking about in Sunday school, some people believe that their sacrifice to God is money, or their sacrifice to God is church attendance, or their sacrifice to God is some work that they donate. Can all those things be good and to God? Sure they can. But the ultimate way and where all those things I just mentioned would have their fruit or full realization is that we sacrifice to God ourselves and everything we do and our motives and so forth. And that's what we saw in young David, wasn't it? So he says to Solomon, I want you to keep statutes, commandments, rules, and testimonies. Now, if you look all this up, statutes is something that has been prescribed, ordinances or rights. Commandments, you could pretty much define as the law. Rules, formal decree, and testimonies would be what? Witness. So there's some overlap here, and I think why David does this, and some commentators said that these all mean the same. I don't think that we should say they all mean the same, but I do think they all overlap. And I think the point David was trying to make is that the law of God and the commands of God are vast and varied, aren't they? All the statutes, rules, commandments, the testimonies. So he's kind of saying to Solomon, you're not exempt from any of them. Which was something David would have known very well. David and his favor with God and his strength and his faith and the grace that God had given him, he was not exempt from not following the laws of God. So he says, Solomon, you're subject to all of these, as vast and varied as the body of law, is, you must keep it. So the first thing we've got to do is keep the charges. We've got to walk in the ways of God. Talk about it. And I do not plan these things. Isn't the Lord wonderful that the Sunday school lesson goes really well with what we're going to hear today? And even the songs I picked, I really didn't have in mind what we were talking about. But they went really well in the comments about fathers. And here we hear of a father. And here's another neat thing as I was thinking about Father's Day. People often expect you to preach a Father's Day message, and then Mother's Day is a Mother's Day message, and this holiday and that holiday. I don't normally do that. I do around Christmas or Easter, but the reason is because the Word of God is so wonderful, and I always, I don't think we should come with the Word of God with my purposes, but God's. But isn't it wonderful? Not only did the songs work out that way, but this is a sermon. As long as we went through this series, that we ended with the final sermon in the life of David of a father's commands to his son on Father's Day. I think that's kind of neat. So he says, why does he need to keep the ways of the Lord? Why does he need to keep the statutes, the commandments, the rules, and the testimonies? Because many Christians today would say, well, this sounds like an unnecessary word because, well, maybe for Solomon, I mean, yeah, he was going to be king, but certainly doesn't apply to me. I'm saved by grace. But being saved by grace does not exempt us. As a matter of fact, we should have an extraordinary zeal beyond that of those who would keep the ways of God out of obligation. We keep the laws of God out of love for our Savior and for the one that has had mercy and grace upon us. So he says, and he gives the reason, you've got to do this, Solomon, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. David could have prospered in all that he did and wherever he turned if he had stayed on the path. But he stumbled, didn't he? And he is warning Solomon here. Is this a proper warning from a father to a son? Absolutely. And is it really necessary for Solomon to hear it? Absolutely. Because we've all heard the story of Solomon, haven't we? And what happens later. But maybe you hear this commandment. And if a father was, our father was saying to us, you know, son or daughter, keep these commandments, do these things. And usually when we hear about rules or laws or commandments, we think, oh goodness, how can I possibly do that? Or, oh no, the burden, right? Why does God want to just take all the fun out of life? But that's not the way we should look at it, is it? You know, if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, I will read to you. Hear what the Bible says about God's law. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking. That you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is wise and understand a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there? Listen to this. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that His statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Amen? We as Christians take out great nation and put great people, the church. For what great people, for what great church is there that our Lord, that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God, that we can call on Him whenever? And what great people is there that has the statutes and rules that are so righteous as the law of God that has been set before us? Amen? Let's look at Psalms, because I thought it would be fitting to hear from David himself. And if we turn to Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. That is the very words of David, who had been disciplined by the Lord his God. And he cries out on how wonderful and good the law of God is. John Woodhouse said in his commentary, the law is always in context of His promises and grace. So when we hear David say these things, it is in context of the grace of God and the grace that had been given to David and the grace that had been given to Solomon and all the promises that had been made. And he says in verse 4, so he says, you want to prosper. Do you want to prosper in your life? Do you want to prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn? Sure we should. And why does he say we should want to prosper? Verse 4, that the Lord may establish His word that He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons place close attention to their way to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So that the Lord may establish His word. Now we know this applies to Solomon and the kingdom that he had to rule. But you must pay close attention to, he says what? If your sons pay close attention to their way. So not only the sons of Solomon, but those who followed after him, leading to the son, the Son of God, but it also applies to us. Pay attention to their way to walk before me in what? Faithfulness. With all their heart, with all their soul, and they would not lack. And this brings us, we pay a close attention to way, walk, faithfulness, heart, soul. He says the throne shall not lack. This is true success, isn't it? A lot of us look to the world for success. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work, because the Bible says he that does not work should not eat. We should work. We should have a vocation. We should be mothers and fathers, husbands, wives, and we should do all those things to the Lord. But the material or those things of the world will not be success without the Lord our God. Amen? And he says, you shall not lack. We see this success in Israel, David's early life, the early life of Solomon, and I could name others. This is not the prosperity gospel of today. This is not the name it and claim it. This is not God owes me something. He owes you nothing. But he has made promises. It's not the prosperity gospel, but far greater are the promises of God. You think God sent his son Jesus Christ just so we can have a little bit more money in this life? Do you think he sent his son Jesus Christ just so I wouldn't have a pain or an ache or a problem or the manner of death that may come upon me at one day in my life? The promises of God are far more greater than that. It's not a worldly promise. It's an inheritance, amen? It's a relationship with him. It's a relationship with the Son. It's being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But it's a relationship with one another for eternity. How many of us like relationships? Well, that's the reason we do a lot of the things we do in the world. It's the reason we get sideways, if you know what I mean, in the world, isn't it? It's why sometimes we make money a god. Because we think money will buy us favor and happiness and relationships. It's why we seek after other things, whether it's excess and alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is. We seek after this fulfillment and this success. But God promises something far greater. So what's the difference between an unconditional promise that God made in 2 Samuel 7? I'm not going to turn there and read it for time's sake, but 2 Samuel 7 is when God promises David there would be always somebody on the throne. You know, or his throne would not perish, right? His throne, that throne of David would be an eternal throne. An unconditional promise. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, the second half, he says, do these things that the Lord may establish his word that he has said, the promises he has made. But it's conditional. If your son plays close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack. John Woodhouse also said this, grace is not received in disobedience. You ever thought about that? Grace is not received in disobedience. We cannot be a rascal disobedient to God and think somehow we receive the grace and mercy of God as he has promised. Now, I fully believe in the unconditional promises of God and our salvation. We see that in the life of David. Despite all the discipline he had, he was still in relationship with God. He never wavered in his faith. And that's the sign to us that David was God's. He did not waver in his faith, even in his shortfalls and in his sin. But there are conditional promises. And sometimes people in the church think that there are none. We talked about, this was covered in Sunday school, oddly enough, briefly. Because God is saying, Solomon, I've made all these promises. David is saying to his son, God has made all these promises to you, but you've got to walk it. God has promised me that because I have put my faith and trust in his son, Jesus Christ, I will be with him for an eternity. But he's promised me and also an inheritance. He's promised me the fruit of the Spirit in this life. He's promised me blessing. He's promised me happiness. He's promised these things. But as I walk this life on this earth, can I in any way expect those blessings upon my life if I'm a disobedient child of God? No. And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, David, Moses. I mean, Moses, bless his heart, I can understand David. Right? We all say, yeah, it was bad. But Moses, God says, speak to the rock, and Moses hits it out of anger. We think, man, that ain't a big deal, is it? Most of us as parents say, well, it'll be all right. Don't do that again. God didn't let him go into the promised land. God's not messing around here, people. If he will punish David and Solomon and Moses, will he not hold me accountable? So our Sunday school lesson, I think, said it this way. We cannot receive the grace of God and not expect to take on the responsibility that comes with that. We cannot. Grace is not received in disobedience, and we can see it in the life of David and Solomon. You know, David knew God and he did not waver, but do you want to go through what David went through? And who knows? If you have no desire to follow Jesus Christ and this doesn't, you don't hear this and say, oh my goodness, we could all do better, then you may be a Saul who knew there was a God but didn't know Him, didn't follow Him. So do you think God, we know that Solomon doesn't heed the words of David for his whole life, does he? Does that mean, and this is the good news, does that mean that God didn't keep His promise for one to be on the throne? Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Jesus Christ is the King. He is the fulfillment of what David is saying to Solomon. Where David failed, Solomon failed, and every king and son after him were imperfect. Jesus Christ came. He is the only suitable sacrifice. All other religions are false and they lead to hell. Jesus Christ is the only one who was born perfect, lived perfect, fulfilled the law, was qualified to bear the sin, that the slavery of sin, to be a sacrifice for sin, and He is the only man to be resurrected of His own power. Amen? Amen. And it is for that reason that God's promise here is fulfilled. But I plead with you, don't you want to enjoy that grace to its utmost? Don't you? Yes. Now I'm pleading, but if you were in our Sunday school from Jeremiah, God's not pleading with you. He is commanding you, as He commanded the people of God of old. And we will be held accountable, as David was and Solomon will be. Number two, 2 Solomon chapter 2 verse 5 as we continue. So he kept the charge for the throne. The character of God is what we just heard. And keep the charge as a means of justice. This is the action, isn't it, that follows the walk. And what does he say? I'm not going to read it word for word again. He says there's three guys I want you to deal with, David says. Now there's a little bit of controversy on, as we know, these are three people that David ran up against. But Solomon is passing them off. I mean, David is passing them off to Solomon. And some people, you know, they give David a hard time. Some commentators, David's wrong here. David should have dealt with it. This is David's failings as a king. Blah, blah, blah. And maybe there is some truth that David didn't feel effectively with these fellas. Or maybe David was wise in not dealing effectively with them. And it saved more consternation. And it, you know, I can't answer that question. But I know that David comes to Solomon and says, you need to deal with these three fellas. And first he mentions Joab. And he says, use your wisdom, but. And with Joab, this is about avenging, isn't it? And he says, Joab had killed three people. He killed two commanders of the armies during a time of peace. David says, not in war. It was after the war was over, or there wasn't war. He killed these two men that David had said to show kindness to, and Joab shed their blood. Abner, Amasa, But then there's a third one that Joab killed against the orders of David. And I think this one may bear a little heavier burden on David than the other two. And who was that? Absalom. Joab killed David's son when David said not to kill him. And David tells him, listen to what David said there. He said, "You also know what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me." Personal, David felt this was. Now, I don't know if this was David's weakness that he didn't take care of it, or he was waiting on the Lord to take care of it, and Solomon is God's means. Can't answer that for you. But I know what this is. This is a shadow. Because just as we heard that those who are in the grace of God are expected to keep the charge of God and walk in the ways of God and know God, that Jesus sits on the throne and He is the judge. Amen? And He will administer justice. Whatever else we think, justice is going to be administered. And I'm telling you, the list of verses that we could have read that speak on the judgment and justice of Jesus Christ is so numerous, I was having a problem picking a few out to even read them. But you can turn to Acts 10:42, Isaiah 11:3, 4. I'm not going to read them because of time's sake. But you turn and you look up either in your concordance or in your reference Bible or those verses, it is repeated frequently that Jesus Christ will judge. He will judge the nations. And we as Christians are accountable to Him as our Lord, our Savior, and as our King. Amen? So He says, Joab, justice needs to be served. He says, whatever wisdom you want to use your wisdom, but he should not go down, what's he say, according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. May he not die in peace. Secondly, David says of Barzillai, but this isn't a matter of justice, this is a matter of what? Loyalty. This, if you remember, this older man was loyal to David. He was faithful to David when David was on the run from Absalom. But he decided not to go with David into Jerusalem because he said he was old. But he said his son, he said, "I'm going home, but I will send my sons." And David says to deal with him kindly, doesn't he? Deal with him kindly. And if I turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 4, let me read to you. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in His righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, when He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. David here shows the kindness and the kindness that God shows to us. But God doesn't show us kindness because we're loyal. It says that God shows us kindness while we were yet His enemies. He sent God to die for us. And that should just break our heart. We should be ashamed if we're not just totally sold out to God Almighty. Thirdly and finally here, David says the third person he tells Solomon to address. So justice to Joab, loyalty to Barzillai, but then with Shimei, he says, do not hold guiltless. This is over in verse 8. And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Therefore, do not hold him guiltless. For you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him. You shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. Do not hold guiltless. These are the final words of David, and their words of justice. How do you feel about that? So a lot of commentators don't like this about David and think he's doing wrong. But do you think we should expect David to be more generous? Do we? John Woodhouse reminds us. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. He's speaking to persecuted churches. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to those who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, John Woodhouse says there's more to God's gospel than this. These verses I read, he says, but there is not less. There's more, but it's no less than this. Dale R. Davis shared a bat story in his commentary, and I want to tell it to you. He said he was in his study one day when he realized that something was flying around the room. And after, you know, gazing around the room, getting a handle on it, it was a bat. And a bat had got into his study somehow, and it was flying around and swooping down and all that. And he said at first he picked up a dust mop out of the closet, and he tried to hit it. And he said, you know, dust was flying everywhere because it was all dusty. So he ran and got a broom. And he said after much effort, he finally was able to hit it against the wall. It fell to the ground. And he said he beat that bat bloodied into his gold carpet. And as he told that story, he said, most people are turned, most people don't want to hear that. He said, even some may think that that is unkind or it's something he should have done. He should have captured it and turned it loose in the wild and, you know, that type thing. But he says that he told that bat story for a reason. He said, because there was going to be no peace until that bat was gone and out of his study. And given he didn't have, I guess, the ability or the inclination to capture that bat and to release it or whatever, the bat had to die. And he says this: the security of the kingdom requires the elimination of its enemies. The security of the kingdom requires the elimination of its enemies. The kingdom must be preserved from those trying to destroy and undermine it. See, when we think about our Lord God and His lovingness, John 3:16, He sends His Son to die, but it is conditional. His love is conditional that those who, what? For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ. But those who don't believe, those who refuse, those who stay resistant and determined in the hardness of their heart and their sin, as Satan and his angels, God will remove the enemies. And so we must take the gospel out, because people are the enemies of God. It is a total lie when pastors stand in a pulpit and declare that all people of the world are the children of God. They are not. We are His enemies as sinners. We are His creation. And is there a love expressed to us? Yes, it is. And it is expressed in Jesus Christ. But we must be right with Christ. The kingdom, the enemies of God and the enemies of His kingdom and the enemies of Jesus and the peace that He brings will be vanquished. to the outer darkness, Jesus says. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm getting ready to close. Matthew chapter 13. I had a lot of verses here, and I've skipped some of them just for time's sake. But some of this stuff, I can say all I could rattle on up here all day. But hearing comes, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. So we turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 40. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Praise be to God. We that is not cruel. That is not unjust. He has given us grace which we don't deserve. Nobody will receive injustice. So the last two verses are three. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. He slept and was buried, which was promised to David by God. Why does it use the word sleep? Because David is not spiritually dead. He is spiritually alive and with our Father and His Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King, today. But slept, he's with God, and buried. His physical body has yet to be resurrected and glorified. Then in verse 11 it says, and the time that David reigned was 40 years in Israel, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. It tells us his reign and where. David was great because of the greatness of God. He was great because of his God. One of the greatest kings of Israel. And we should learn a lot from him. In verse 12 it says, so Solomon sat on the throne of his father and his kingdom was firmly established. The throne was firmly established. Now we know that Solomon, he also stumbles. But that's not the throne. We are looking to that throne, but it's not David and Solomon that we are looking to set on it, are we? We are looking to Jesus Christ. We're going to read a couple more scriptures and then I'm closing. John 17:2. We'll turn to him quickly. John 17:2. It would be unfitting to hear all this about David and not read about the one whom he foreshadows. John chapter 17, verse 2. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Romans 1, 4. Romans 1, 4. And was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Philippians 2, 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of David's words and those promises. And praise God, the throne is firmly established. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you confessed your sin to Him today? Not to me, not to this church. Have you prayed to Him, confessed your sin? Have you put your faith in the promises of God in Jesus? If you haven't done that, that you can do that today. But if you're a Christian, let us not make a mockery of the grace we have received. Let's turn to hymn number 91, Surely Goodness and Mercy. Hymn number 91. If you're able, would you please stand? Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we have heard the life of David and your word today, may we walk in your ways. May we fully grasp and enjoy your precious promises and bring glory to your name. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of you, God our Father, and the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. And amen.